You're listening to Malice After Midnight. The following podcast contains subject matter that may be disturbing to some listeners. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts and not of the sponsors. Listener discretion is advised. And now, Malice After Midnight with Tina, Steve, and Christine.
Hello. And we're back. And so is Christine.
Yep.
She's been sick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big O didn't take me down.
Omnicron. Sounds like an evil Transformer.
Yeah, it does. Yep.
Kind of makes me like it a little more.
No.
Steve and I
were very excited to be guests
on Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends with Chewy.
Yeah, we had a real good time. That was the first time we were guests on somebody else's podcast. We had a lot of fun. Check it out. We talked about some movies and some other stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, a lot of fun. So we're looking forward.
He's got a good show. You should check him out.
Yes, and check Chewy out, please. Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. Okay, now, I have a case that's a little bit different from what we normally do. Normally, we talk about the criminal, and then we get to the victims. This time, I'm going to be talking about the victim first, so it's going to be a little different.
And then you're going to get to the killer?
Yes. Okay, so, Teresita Bassa was 47 when this happened. She was actually born in 1929 in the Philippines. Like most immigrants, she came to this country to start anew with a chance of following her dreams and a better life. In the 1960s, she was going to school. Now, some things said for a master's in music. Other things said for a doctorate. I'm not sure which one, but she was going to school for her music career. And by all accounts, she was very sweet, very kind, polite, friendly. She used to even give free piano lessons to kids in her neighborhood.
How sweet.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I took piano when I was little. Steven refuses to believe it.
Yeah, that you don't play and can't play any songs.
Well,
but
she probably
okay.
don't remember anything.
She's like, I can play.
I don't remember anything. I mean, I learned the basic stuff.
She's like, let me play something.
I remember. My friend Spencer's mom is the one that gave me piano lessons.
See, I'm older than you, and I don't remember you even taking lessons. Like, you went to somebody's house after school and took lessons?
No. I just said it was at the elementary school.
At the school?
Yes.
During what? During a class?
Right after school.
How'd you get home?
You can ask Mom. Why do you think I have a keyboard? Why do you think Mom and Dad bought me that Yamaha?
Okay,
it was actually a Yamaha keyboard.
Okay,
so that was an expensive keyboard back in the day. For a...
And I have... I'm 5 years older than
what,
you.
Like an 9-year-old has a Yamaha keyboard?
Oh, you were
banging
such a
the
bad
keys.
A with ding, your Yamaha keyboard. Ding, you were all like...
I was
a young box.
She was a young Michael McDonald. Yamo be there, huh? Anyway,
stupid.
I'm 5 years older than you. Not one memory of you ever playing anything on a keyboard.
Mom's told you.
I remember
you.
There being a keyboard, but I don't remember you playing it.
Mom told you. I remember the book. As a matter of fact, I bet it's still there. When I find it, I'm gonna throw it in your face.
How about throwing it in my face by playing a song on the keyboard sometime?
I can play a song on the keyboard.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring my keyboard,
so that's,
and I'm going to bring it on the show.
No.
And I'm going to go ding, 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 for you and play your little song.
We're hooking it up. Now let's go finish the case, Tina. Yep. Sorry, you were really interrupted by Christine.
Teresita lived in Chicago, and going to school, she still had to find a job because it was just her, and she needed money, you know, to live and do things. So she got a job as a respiratory therapist in a hospital.
It just sounds bad. Like, that's going to be a bad thing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Them skills is coming in handy later.
Yeah, okay. She's going to respiratory specialize somebody back to life? Or she's going to respiratory specialize the killer?
I'm talking about just the medical field part. It never... Okay.
It must not have actually been helpful because she's dead.
I'm done with you.
Let's go.
I'm done with you.
Sorry. Sibling rivalry.
After talking on the phone with a friend on February 21st, 1977.
You're listening to Malice After Midnight with Tina, Steve, and Liberace.
You ass.
I'm sorry, Elton John. Anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, Tina.
911 was called and firefighters were dispatched to the home of Teresita. Her body was found under a mattress. When firefighters arrived at Teresita's apartment, they found a mattress was on fire.
Oh, man.
So when they looked, they also found a body under the mattress. So, you know, police were
trying to hide the evidence. Yeah. Destroy the evidence?
Yeah, okay. Destroy the evidence. Police came and they found her body and she was completely nude. And there was a layer of clothing above her body that was also burned. And then the mattress on top of it was burned also. It was like they were trying to, I guess, layer.
Yeah.
To make it, you know, burn.
And her clothing and mattresses and stuff don't really burn all that good.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. You had a mattress the other day that burned and went.
Back then, though, you know. The non-flammable stuff wasn't as
flame retardant.
It wasn't as non-flammable as it is now.
Yeah. But anyway, her body was also found and her legs were spread wide open, like, so they thought it was a rape too. Mm. And she had a knife plunged in her, like, deep in her chest.
Wow. Mm.
And that's all they had to go on. You know, there was a fire. I mean, people saw smoke. They came, there was a fire and they had a body. You know, they looked around a little bit. It looked like the place had been ransacked, but they had nothing to go on. That friend of hers, you know, had said she was expecting somebody, but she didn't say anything to anybody about who it was or anything like that. Now, in looking through the apartment, the police did find a note that said, "Give theater tickets to A.S." And that's it. They had no idea who A.S. was. With so little to go on, the case went cold, like pretty much from the beginning. It stayed cold for months. You know, they didn't really have anything to go on.
All the evidence was burned.
All the evidence was burned. All they had was that note about give theater tickets to A.S. They had no idea who that was.
A subject.
You know, she lived alone. She didn't have anybody, you know, a boyfriend or anything like that. So all she had was work.
No family.
Yeah, no family. So she had work people and they didn't, you know.
Yeah, or I call them coworkers, but yeah. She had work people.
So, anyway, the case seemed to be getting colder by the minute. And one day, Detective Joe Statula.
Statula?
No, it's Stashula, like a stash.
Stashula?
Stashula.
Like it's S-T-A-C-H.
So you said Detective Joe Spatula. This is Detective Joe Spatula.
I'm saying it's, I'm guessing
I'm
it's Spatula.
This case up. Let's flip this case over on its side.
Detective Joe Statula.
Joe Statula.
He sat down one day behind his desk and
imagine
he saw
him
a
having
note.
A big mustache.
That's what
I know. It's like they got to be the most beautiful mustache. Like
the little curls on the end.
No, I'm thinking like Tom Selleck extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Detective Joe Statula.
This man had no stash.
No mustache?
No. Oh, my God.
I'm so sure.
He probably couldn't grow one.
Oh, Detective Statula.
You probably can't grow
like
one.
Tom Beardsley not being able to grow a beard. Just made that name up.
That was fantastic. Okay, so he sat down at his desk and he saw a note that said, "Contact Dr. Jose Chua." And the doctor, like, so he called the doctor. And the doctor was, like, actually hesitant at first.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, "I've got some information that may help you solve this case." So he said, "Okay, well, let me get my partner and we'll come over." So they go over
his
to Dr.
Detective Goatee. I'm sorry.
The doctor
cut that out.
Came over. I mean, the detectives came over and they started talking to Dr. Chua. And he said, "Well, actually, it's my wife." And she, now something said that she started at first seeing a woman's face with like a man's face imposed over it.
All right, let me rein this in a little bit because it's confusing.
Yes.
So the doctor that called,
yes,
Detective Stash,
mm-hmm, yes,
said, my wife.
My wife.
My wife has some information. And now obviously his wife is psychic.
Well, she never was psychic. But
now she
it started also. When she started seeing a woman's
she's
face.
She's having visions.
Yeah, she's having visions. Thank you. And then like a man's face would go imposed over the woman's face. Okay. And then she started having dreams. And she had these real vivid dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And she started telling her husband about it. And he's like, whatever, you know, sure.
So the detective didn't really.
Well, they were like, I'm sure like side-eyeing each other, you know, looking at each
I'm
other
so
like,
sure.
you know, yeah, yeah, right.
Like I look so, at you when Steven's being yes, a butt.
Exactly that look. So like, no. Then he said, you know, I was skeptical myself until the first night when my wife went into a trance and she was asleep and she was in like almost like a comatose state. I asked her, I said, you know, what are you doing? And she said, in a different voice.
Yeah.
This is not your, you know, your wife. This is me. I am Teresita Bassa. And she,
he was skeptical until the first time she did this.
Yeah, like he was skeptical of the dreams and he was like, whatever. And then when she did this, he was like,
okay. Because I was like.
Yeah. So then apparently Teresita.
Yeah.
Possessed his wife's body.
Yes.
Gotcha.
He said it was almost like she was possessed. He thought at first she was possessed. Mm-hmm. The wife's name was Remy, and he said the reason he thought she was possessed was because in the beginning, when she did this the first time, yes, I said the first time, and she was speaking in a voice that he did not recognize.
More with Tina, Steve, and Christine on Malice After Midnight coming up.
This week's episode is sponsored by J&W Soaps. From building the recipe for each batch to constructing the design for each bar, their handmade soaps are sure to please. Check them out at jnwsoaps.com and use the code MALICE15 to get 15% off your online order of two or more items.
And now more of Malice After Midnight with your hosts, Tina, Steve, and Christine.
Now, at this point, they said the only connection that they made between Remy and Teresita was that they were both from the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Chua had said the next time that she had went into her trance, she said, I am Teresita Bassa, and Alan Showery came to my house to fix my TV. He came to repair my television, but then he killed me. Please go to the police. And then Remy, like, snapped out of it. Hmm. And he didn't go to the police.
Well, because, so, you know, he's an idiot. But his name was
how
what?
How do you go to the police with that story? And
but his name was what?
Alan Showery.
A.S. Give tickets to A.S. I cracked the code! Crime Busters. It's my new show. It's my new podcast. Just give me a little bit of information.
There's probably already a Crime
I'm
Busters
going
podcast.
To bust it.
Christine, that can mean anything. You'll fall down. I'm going to bust it. So this kept happening again and again several times. And the doctor said he still had not gone to the police. And this
which
went on
I understand
like
because
months.
I have a hard time believing that that's even real, that that happened with his wife.
So,
but if she does name the right killer, then
I'm going to tell you right now.
Tell me.
If I start talking to either one of you in a different voice, and I'm talking about I'm so-and-so, and so-and-so killed me, I'm going to need you to get that taken care of, okay?
Because
I'm not
going to
live with that
well, first,
going on all the time.
We'll do a podcast, and then we'll do it.
Thanks.
Good.
Thanks.
Anyways, so it kept happening for like months, okay? I mean, I'm talking about like.
Which is entirely too long.
Which is entirely too long. And one night she said, you know, I'm Teresita Bassa. I need, you know, and she wanted to know like why he had not gone to the police. And he said, because I need more evidence. I need more proof. I can't just go with what you told me, which, you know, was the killer. I mean, but I guess he just wanted something else. So in Teresita's voice, then Remy said, Alan Showery stole my jewelry. It was a pearl ring and a jade necklace that her father picked up in France years ago and gave to her mother. And okay. She's like, he stole my jewelry. Stop making fun of the way it's the jewelry.
The jewelry.
He stole my jewelry.
Stole my jewelry.
My jewelry.
Leave me alone.
My jewelry.
A country, y'all. Anyway, I can see it on your face. Stop looking at me.
I was going.
Anyway, and she said that he had given it as a gift to his girlfriend.
Old AS did.
But it kept happening weekly until finally the good doctor, you know, left the note for the police, you know, called the police. Yeah. They left the note and now the detectives are here. So as skeptical as they were, the detectives actually did a background check on him. Mm-hmm. And they found out to their surprise that not only did he live near Teresita, This is Showery I'm talking about.
Alan?
Is yeah.
Alan? Alan Showery.
No, Shower.
Alan Showery.
Yeah, Showery. S-H-O-W-E-R-Y.
Mm-hmm. Showery.
Showery. And so not only did Alan live by Teresita, he ain't talked tonight. He also worked as an orderly in the same hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the connection. And they went to her work, you know, her and his work, and they spoke to several people. Oh, my God, I can't talk. They spoke with several people that said, oh, yeah, we had heard them talking, and she was talking about how he was going to come over and fix her television set.
Okay.
So that's what it, you know, that's what happened. And after this, they visited Showery's home and talked to him, and he denied at first knowing her at all. And then he said, of course, he was never
that
in her
shows
apartment.
Guilt right there, because they know for a fact that he knows her because they work mm-hmm. together.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm. And then they noticed the jewelry around his girlfriend's neck. Okay, they noticed that she had the necklace on and she had the ring on. And then they said, well, y'all, you know, do y'all mind coming down to the police station? And, of course, he's like, yeah, of course. And they went down to the police station. And I'm guessing they kept them separate because they usually mm-hmm. don't let, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe they didn't. But she had no idea, I'm sure. Yeah. When they said several people could place him at her apartment because, you know, they had heard him talking mm-hmm. or they had, you know, heard Teresita saying that he was going to come over and help her with her television, he actually admitted that he did go over to her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And when he started looking at the TV, he realized he didn't have the correct tools. So he left. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know who came in after that, after him.
Right.
And then they went over and interviewed his girlfriend. And they're like, where did you get that jewelry? And she said, oh, he gave it to me back in February as a belated Christmas gift. So that's where I got it. Which, I mean, it's February. You know, I've said, this is like a Valentine's gift. Mm-hmm, but he's like, this is a belated Christmas gift. So here you go. So she said, and she had no idea. They asked her, and she didn't know anything.
Right.
And then they went back to him, and they pressed him with the evidence. They're like, we know that's her jewelry.
Yeah.
And we know that she had a jade necklace, and we know that she had the pearl ring because it was a gift to her mother from her father when they went to France. And they told him, you know, all this, that's how they knew. Then he began to confess that he had planned all along from the very beginning to rob her because he needed some rent money.
Uh-huh.
And she had actually bought the tickets as a gift for him to thank him.
Mm-hmm.
She bought two tickets for him and his girlfriend to go to the theater. That was
right.
her, you
okay.
know, like, thank you. But he said when she started talking and she walked over to the TV, he attacked her and killed her, and then he put her on the bed and took all her clothes off and spread her legs to make it look like a rape, because the autopsy had showed that there was no actual rape that had happened.
Yeah.
And he put the clothes down first and lit them on fire, and then he put the mattress and lit it on fire. Well, I think he ransacked her apartment first, and he did ransack her apartment first, and he only found $30. So then he started looking around for jewelry or something to make up the difference, and he found that.
Yeah. But he didn't cash in on
that's
that.
That's what I was thinking the
jewelry
whole time. Thank you. I thought, well, he
just gave it away as a gift, so I guess
so
maybe
I
need rent money.
He went to a pawn shop or something.
Yeah, so I'm not buying the whole I need to rent money
yeah.
thing, because he would have cashed that. Thank you. I'm so glad you caught that, too, because I was always thinking.
Crime Busters. Christine. Coming to a podcast near you.
Yeah, like I said. You know, he did all that, plunged the knife in her chest, and that's when he put the mattress and everything. So, and, you know, that's when, you know, the whole intent was to cover everything up. He thought by burning it, it would do more damage, I think, than it did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And at this time, he was arrested and charged with murder. The trial did not start until January 21st, 1979, and Showery pleaded not guilty.
After he already confessed.
Yeah.
What was the year she was killed?
77.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Remember she took like a whole year talking through the doctor's wife.
That's right.
To try and get somebody to help her out. And
like,
he was all like,
not,
no.
I don't feel like we're there
she's
yet.
Like, nobody's going to solve this case. I'm going to have to do it from beyond the grave.
No. He's still like, no. But a month into the trial, it ended with a hung jury. He then, of course, was set for a retrial, but his lawyer got to him and said, look, if it doesn't come back as a hung jury, then you could be facing a long time in jail. So then he decided to plead guilty.
Take a plea.
Mm-hmm. So he took a plea for a lesser sentence, and he was sentenced to 14 years, charged with murder, robbery, and arson.
I think it's crazy that it was a hung jury to begin with when he already confessed to it. Don't they record that?
I mean, was the confession not used?
Well, he tried to, I don't know, but I know he tried to get it thrown out. Like, his lawyer was big, like, come on. Really? Beyond the grave? So that was that whole thing. So yeah. I think that's one reason.
Right, but I mean, he confessed to what he did and said that he, you know what well, I mean? Like,
he
I
probably don't... recanted.
Yeah.
If you recant, that's it. You can't put it in.
I guess.
But he got charged with, did I say, murder, arson, and robbery?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he only served 5 years before he was paroled.
Nice.
Which is so annoying.
Did she like possess him beyond the grave and like walk him into traffic?
Okay. There were reports that's the reason why he confessed in the first place was because she visited him in the prison.
Wow.
Hmm.
So I don't know. So what do y'all think? Y'all think that she really visited Remy?
I don't know. It's kind of strange that she had the facts right. So
yeah. I think the doctor.
That's one of those things like we were talking about on Exploring the Myths Behind the legends. Oh, my God. We're connecting it. Segue. We were talking about that on his show.
That's funny.
A little bit of supernatural. So, yeah, I don't know. It's like kind of there's something there.
There's more than this. I mean, there's others out there that have, you know.
Yeah, there's been cases where psychics have helped police solve cases, so.
Well, that's it. That's the story of the victim, Teresita Bossa. And I'm glad that her case was solved. She had a hand in it, or a voice in it. She came back with a voice.
For sure.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
The Oracle Network.